Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. It's my blessing, my real blessing, to share the Word of God with you once again this Lord's Day morning. I trust that you are helped during these times as we look to the Bible and see and hear what God has to say to each one of us about ourselves, about how it is that we are to live our lives, and most importantly, about Himself, the Bible, our all-sufficient guide, this wonderful book God has given us, the very Word of the Living God, which teaches us about God, ourselves, our sinfulness, and our need of salvation, and reveals wonderful truth to us about God and our lives. And so, my friends, it's our real pleasure to continue in the Bible this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 as you are able to, and soon we will read verses there. Our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry at www.actionuganda.net. Let me encourage you to pray often for ABC Radio and for African Bible University, this great gospel-expressing institution. The university brings the treasure of God's Word to students and to the community, to the entire country in many ways. And ABC Radio is an extension of this blessed ministry, this gospel ministry in which the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed as Savior and Lord, and that salvation is proclaimed in His mighty and holy name for all who trust in Him and repent of their sins. And so, my friends, let us now pray this morning. Father, we do thank You for ABC Radio. I thank You for my friend Max and his able work and management of the station. Continue to bless him. And I thank You for my friend Collins, who serves You daily in bringing the gospel to thousands and thousands of people in Uganda. I thank You for my other friends who daily serve You from their hearts, loving Jesus, proclaiming the glory of God. Lord, we thank You for African Bible University and for the glorious truth that its students are taught. Thank You for the thousands and thousands of lives that have been impacted through African Bible University. Continue to bless ABU and bless ABC. And we ask Your blessing once again on the holy word that we will receive today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, my friends, let's look at verses in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 6. And we'll read together through verse 9. This is the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in Me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. May the Lord add His gracious blessing to the word we have just received. And so, my friends, in these verses, we see the reality of the future judgment that comes upon all people who do not place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and who do not truly, from their hearts, repent of their sins and break off their sins. we see the reality of eternal judgment or the reality of hell. Here Jesus calls Gehenna hell fire. And this morning, I want to share some general observations with you about this teaching in the Bible, the doctrine of eternal judgment or hell for those who die without Christ. And then I want to share with you Scripture. And I believe that it is the Scripture, the very Word of God itself, that is going to speak most powerfully to our hearts as we hear the Word of God as it speaks of hell and eternal torment. And let me begin by saying that 2 years ago I was in America, and at that time there was a bit of a controversy in the church as a whole about the reality of hell. And one prominent church leader had come to the conclusion that there isn't a literal hell. There really isn't a hell as we've ordinarily thought about it, a place of fire and torment and judgment and agony, but that God's love is so encompassing that God couldn't possibly damn anyone or bring any soul into torment. And this idea is based upon another thought, which is called universalism. That means, this idea, universalism, is that God will finally save every person because God is so merciful. And simply speaking, God could not tolerate or live with himself if it is that people that he had created in his own image were eternally damned and in a state of eternal agony, universalism. And so the idea that hell isn't really as the Bible describes it comes from this idea of universalism. And I remember speaking to a friend about it, and my friend was intrigued by the idea. It seemed to make sense to him, and he wanted to study this issue further to understand and determine if indeed it's true that God will finally save everyone and that none will be lost, that there is no place called hell and that there is not an agonizing destiny for the wicked. And so this idea of universalism is not new. It pops up at times in history, and so it's an issue that's being dealt with now in the Western Church. And of course, this idea is also present in Uganda. I have a relative who died about a year ago who basically had shared with me at one time this idea. He was a churchgoer, but he basically said, I really don't have much concern. I don't think that there's a hell. I don't think God would possibly damn someone. He's too good. He's too loving, too merciful. And so I'm really not worried about it. And I think my life is just fine, though my relative was not repentant and did not truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at the time that he made that statement. And so let's begin our discussion, this teaching and this preaching time today about hell, by stating clearly that this idea of universalism, or that hell is not a place of torment, these ideas, my friends, are not biblical. These are clearly wrong. Psalm 89:48 says, what man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? And so that verse brings before us the clear truth that every human being must die and come under the power of the grave, or the power of death. And we know that the Bible teaches that we die because we have sinned. Every human being has sinned. We have received Adam's fallen nature from the first man, Adam. And so we are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. And so every human being will die because we are sin, and every human being is powerless and cannot keep themselves from dying. Having made that point clearly, we now understand that the Bible teaches us that all people who die because of sin must then go to one of two places. Those places simply are heaven or the presence of God, or hell, or the place of eternal torment and separation from the grace and love of God. And so that brings us back to Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. And I want to make a brief comment upon these verses. Jesus is teaching in these verses about how it is that the apostles, and we understand that he is also speaking to us too in the Word of God, that we too are involved in this. We too must turn from our pride, our sin, which causes us to offend others. It's in our sin that we harm others. We don't love them and we offend them. And Jesus offers to us here strong truth in which he presents to us several word pictures that communicate the extreme need to obey God, not sin and offend others, and to avoid the judgment which offense brings. Strong word pictures. And the first one, he says there in verse 6, that it is better for a person to tie a heavy stone around his neck and throw himself into deep water and die than to offend another person. That strong language, that word picture, is communicating to us that to offend others and sin pridefully is a truly great and terrible sin that God will judge with a great and terrible anger. In verse 7, Jesus says, "Woe to the world because of offenses." And this word woe, it's spelled W-O-E, speaks of judgment and trouble and agony. And so there is judgment, trouble, and agony, pain, that comes because we offend or cause others to stumble. We harm other people. And so we violate the holy will of God and the holy law of God when we sin. We don't love God and our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, when we sin, we hate God and we hate our neighbor. And so Jesus tells us in verse 7 that offenses must come. They will come. We are sinners. Christians are redeemed sinners. James says that in many ways we offend often. Offenses will come, but woe, trouble, judgment, and agony comes to the man that commits offenses. Now, we need to understand in the context of Christ's teaching and the New Testament teaching and the Bible teaching as a whole that God forgives those who offend, who truly believe in Jesus and repent of their sins. And that's good news, isn't it? Especially when we are talking about God's absolute eternal anger upon unrepentant sinners and unbelieving sinners. There is good news that our great offenses that Jesus warns us about are forgiven when we are truly saved. All of our sin is forgiven. Jesus continues there in verse 8, again with another strong word picture, and he talks about cutting off a hand or a foot if it causes us to pridefully sin and harm or offend others or cause them to stumble and so be harmed and sin. And he says there that it is better to live in this way of being lame or maimed rather than not losing a hand or foot and to be cast into everlasting fire. Again, the strong picture before us is that he is telling us that it's better to take the very strong measure of cutting off the hand or foot that we sin with rather than to continue to sin with these body members and be cast into eternal hell. Here it's called everlasting fire. The point very clearly, again, that we must with great strength, with ability, in a certain way, turn from sins that we would commit with our hands or our feet. Another strong word picture there. In verse 9, if your eye causes you to sin, Jesus says, pluck it out and cast it from you. The picture there, a graphic and horrible picture of a man plucking out his own eye, casting it out of his head, throwing it away so that he doesn't sin with his eye, because if he continues to sin with his eye and he is not repentant, then he would die and be cast into hell fire. And so again, it is better, Jesus says, to suffer the horror of losing an eye that you sin with than to see and sin with your eye and be cast into Gehenna, into eternal fire. And so, my friends, we see in this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ something of the horror of hell, something of the horror of this condition of being under the eternal wrath of the angry God, who surely has promised eternal judgment upon all who have not come to his Son in true faith. Let's consider now words that we find in the Bible which will help us to understand better the meaning of hell. In the Old Testament, we find a word quite often that's called Sheol. Sheol. And it means simply Hades, or the world of the dead. It means the grave, hell, or pit. And it really refers to the world of the dead, or the abode of the dead, the place that dead souls or spirits would go to at the time of their body's decease. Psalm 139:8 says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. That's a reference to God. The psalmist is saying that God is present everywhere, that even if he went to hell, God would still be there because he is omnipresent. And so this word Sheol is used in Psalm 139:8. In the New Testament, we find a few words which are used for hell or describe hell. One is Gehenna. We just saw that usage in Matthew chapter 18. And this word Gehenna really means Valley of Hinnom. And it's used figuratively as a name for the place or the state of everlasting punishment, or again, hell. The Valley of Hinnom was an area near Jerusalem where garbage or refuse was taken. It was really the city dump. And it was also a place where dead bodies were taken and not buried, but simply thrown into the trash heap. And so the Valley of Hinnom was a stinking place of corruption and trash, kasasaro, garbage, and a place where dead bodies littered the area. And so this kind of horrific vision of a place of stinking decay and death comes to mind when we see this word Gehenna, speaking of this terrible place, the Valley of Hinnom. Another word that we find in the New Testament is the word Hades, which means simply the place of departed souls. That's similar to the Old Testament word Sheol, and it really just means the world of the dead or the place where the dead go. We might make mention now that in the Old Testament idea of Sheol, we see that the world of the dead has two compartments or two areas, and they're separated. The wicked are gathered into Sheol in a place of punishment and judgment, and the righteous are gathered into the other area or compartment of Sheol, which is a place of blessing and pleasure. And so Hades is a similar place. It's simply a general term speaking of the place of departed souls. There's another word for hell, Tartaru, from a word which means Tartarus, from the word Tartarus, and this speaks of the deepest abyss of hell. It speaks of being incarcerated in eternal torment or cast down to hell. And so Tartarus would be the worst part of hell, perhaps the hottest part of hell, the place of most intense agony in hell. It's likened to a prison, a state of incarceration. And so when the Bible in the New Testament refers to being cast down to hell, this word Tartaro is used in that way. And so, my friends, we see here that hell is described in all of these places as a place of torment and as a place of agony. And at this point, it would be very good for us simply to look to the Scripture. Look to the Scripture and see what the Scripture says about hell, this place of eternal torment. And we find, first of all, descriptions of hell. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, we see one of these descriptions. And so let me turn there for you. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. If you have your Bible available, please turn there too. And we see here that the Word of God says, Jesus is speaking and teaching again, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Verse 42, "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Verse 44, "Then they will also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And so, my friends, we see here that this place of torment, hell, that Jesus is teaching us about is the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And what we see there, that's found in verse 41, is that the fit eternal dwelling place for Satan and all demons, all fallen angels, is this place called everlasting punishment or fire. this place of judgment. That is the proper just punishment for Satan and the devils. And so when the scripture refers to the cursed devil and his angels being cast into everlasting punishment, departing from God, see, being separated from God, the cursed, they go to this place which is fundamentally and primarily the necessary place of confinement and punishment upon Satan and the demons because of their great and grievous sins against God. And so the place that is necessary, prepared, fitted for the devil and his angels is the place where cursed and unbelieving human beings also are cast into. We see that in the scripture. And the basis for this eternal condemnation is that unbelieving people did not love their neighbor, the hungry, the thirsty. They did not love and care for strangers. They did not help the sick or visit people in great troubles in life, such as an imprisonment. And so Jesus says, because they were heartless and did not show mercy, and because they did not love their neighbor as themselves, as God required and commanded of them, the penalty for these wicked people who did not serve the least and troubled of humanity is that they are cast into everlasting or never-ending punishment in this place prepared for the devil and his angels, into this place of absolute eternal cursing. But the righteous who have loved God and shown mercy to their neighbors, in this way, Jesus says, you showed mercy unto me. The idea there being that we treat others in certain ways, and Jesus counts that or considers that treatment of our fellow human beings as our treatment to himself, especially to believers. Jesus, especially in this section of verses in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, identifies himself so closely with believers that he says, when you served those who believe in me in mercy and love and helped them in their troubles in life, you did it unto me. Jesus is so pleased with this merciful and loving action, which came from a heart of faith in Christ, that he blesses them. And he, in fact, says, because you have trusted me, you have trusted me and repented and have loved your neighbor as I commanded you, in doing so, you have loved your Christian brother, come into eternal blessings, you righteous, into eternal life. And so conversely, the wicked who have done none of these things, they have not trusted Christ, they have not repented of their sins, they have not shown mercy to needy, afflicted people in trouble in life, they have not shown good to Christ's believers that he identifies with, these are then joined in everlasting punishment with the devil and the demons. And so, quite obviously, my friends, hell is a place of never-ending agony. We're going to take a closer look at many scriptures and at the Lord's teaching about hell in the next couple of sermons, as God wills. But obviously, hearing this description of hell should lead us to turn away from it, to truly repent of our sins, to truly entrust our lives to the Savior who forgives all of our sins. Because the simple fact is that we have much sin, each one of us. And if it is that we died with just but one sin on our account, we would be cast into this place of everlasting cursing and punishment. And so, as we trust Jesus and repent truly, all of our sin is forgiven us. And God counts us as righteous. And we receive eternal life. And we are no longer condemned, but eternally saved. And so, dear friend, a kind, loving warning. Don't go to this awful place of cursed, everlasting judgment and agony. But come to the good Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from your sins. My friends, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this sermon today. Bless it to our listeners' hearts, Lord, and we thank you for such a great salvation. And so save through this word today, your word, as you speak to us through your Spirit to turn from our sins and come to trust Jesus, the beloved Savior of the world, and repent of all of our evils and find everlasting life. Have your glory in that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, reveal himself to your heart and save you.